Drew Holiday back for Connaughton. Another one. Back to back threes for Pat.
Good morning and welcome to the Daily Ding. Happy Thursday, everybody. We've got, at least we're going to cover the games that happened Wednesday night. I'm Dave DeFore. Andrew Schlecht is here with me as he is every single Thursday. Andrew, not a lot of great games tonight. It's kind of a bummer.
A very meh night. I think Tuesday and Wednesday flip-flopped in their typical interestingness. So, I don't know. It was a weird one. It's just a weird night in the NBA where we didn't get a ton of action.
Yeah, we've been on a really good run, too. You know, since I declared the playoffs officially started last week, and, you know, that's what everyone had been waiting for, I felt like we had a big game every single night. And we did get some games with some playoff implications and playoff matchups, but they just weren't big games.
Yeah, I mean, really the one that I paid most attention to was Bucks-Wizards. And it was... that was a pretty fun game. I hated that one, like fouls became such a big deal at the end of the game for that.
I mean, the whole game.
True.
There were 71 free throws in this game. 43 shot by the Wizards. They were 32 of 43. I mean, look, the final score was 135-134. The Wizards on a Garrison Matthews heave almost stole this game at the end. They put the Bucks. The Bucks played the entire game without Chris Middleton. They played the last 2 minutes without Giannis, who fouled out. And that's their crunch time offense right there. And somehow they held on and won this game. But the Wizards are likely still in the play-in. They have a three-game cushion in the East over the Raptors. There's six games left. I just feel like we can pretty much call this done, right? Like, we're going to say that they're going to make the play-in.
I think so. They've been really good. Our own Fred Katz said that since April 12th, the Wizards are 11-3. The three losses are by three to the Spurs in overtime, one to the Mavs, and now by one to the Bucks. So they're just super competitive, and it's all Westbrook and Beal. And the way that, I mean, Westbrook looks like vintage Westbrook in so many ways. He's explosive. He is finding guys. He's rebounding like a maniac. He's making his mid-range jumper. He looks like old Russ, which has been pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, he had 29, 17 assists, 12 rebounds. This was his 33rd triple-double of the season. His 179th triple-double of his career. I mean, look, we're talking now 4 years of averaging a triple-double. He's two behind Oscar Robertson. You know, versatility is a word that comes up when we talk about Russ. And I'm not going to use that word with Russ because clearly his game is versatile, but I would say it's all really just one thing. It's all going one direction. It all works one way, but that's why Russ can do the things that he does. He's so great at finding open shooters because he's such a threat with the ball in his hands. He's a great rebounder because he's such a threat attacking rebounds. Like, that's the thing that gets lost. And, you know, we pay a lot of attention to his shooting. And he's basically, you know, cut down those threes again. He's looking great, looking very much like the change we saw in Houston. I think he has spurred this entire run for the Wizards.
Westbrook finally getting into stride where, yes, he attracts the entire defense because he drives so hard to the basket. He's such a threat. And then he's one of the best playmakers in the NBA. People don't use the word skilled enough with Russ. Like, he is so outrageously skilled and, like, so good. And maybe it's just the loud mistakes that he makes. Like, nobody makes louder mistakes than Russell Westbrook in the NBA. But he's been tremendous. And if you want to look at, like, why are the Wizards making this run, a lot of it is Russell Westbrook.
Well, and then the other part of it is Bradley Beal. He had 42 points in this game, and it was a pretty good example of a guy that Drew Holiday is not great at guarding. Beal is a little bit bigger guard, and I started thinking about the Brooklyn series that we may get in the playoffs with the Bucks against the Nets, and I wonder if there might be a little bit of strategy there for Brooklyn after watching a game like this. And this is, you know, kind of how it works for Drew Holiday. He's a great defender, but bigger guards can give him trouble, and I wonder if we might start seeing the Nets working to get a switch and get Drew Holiday off of Kyrie and onto Harden, which then would put Middleton on Kyrie, which I'm sure is another matchup that Brooklyn likes. And it's got my wheels turning a little bit on how that particular matchup is going to work out. And it's probably just because we saw them play twice in the last few days. But Bradley Beal really opened my eyes to what it may look like in a potential Drew Holiday, James Harden matchup.
Yeah, and Harden's even bigger and stronger than Beal is. So, I mean, it's obviously James Harden's a tough matchup for anybody, and so is Bradley Beal. But I don't know. I mean, to me, it also just shows like better offense is always better than the best defense.
Yeah, and the Bucks bench, you know, coming into the year, I gave them a hard time. I really thought that they had thinned out the bench just to force Mike Budenholzer into playing his starters more than 32 minutes in the playoffs. The bench was really good. They had 53 in this game. Connaughton and Forbes combined for 30 off the bench. They were 6 of 13 from 3. When you get that kind of shooting coming off the bench, that's massive. And Bobby Portis has been great all year. Not particularly great in this game, but they're getting really, really solid production from that bench.
Yeah, Pat Connaughton won that game for them. It looked like they were about to let go of the rope after Giannis goes out. It's 2 minutes left. They turn the ball over. Westbrook gets a dunk. It's a one-point game. You think, okay, like where do we go from here? Pat Connaughton hits back-to-back threes and really puts the game out of reach. There was a little bit of funny business there at the end of the game, but it really was over after Pat Connaughton hit those threes. So huge credit to him. He's a guy that I feel like people are always trying to replace. Like if there's a conversation about the Bucks, it's like, okay, how do we replace these Pat Connaughton minutes? But he had some massive offensive rebounds in this game. He hit those big threes. I think he's a nice player.
We're going to quickly run through the rest of the night, and then we're going to get to the playoff implications because, again, these are changing every single day. The Celtics blew out the Magic 132-96. Kemba Walker at 32 looked really good. Hey, the Celtics offense is starting to come alive. This is a good sign as we're like 7 or 8 games before the playoffs. I think this is huge for them.
Get it in gear, Celtics. Let's go.
Blazers blow out the Cavs 141-105. Huge for them. They remain a half game behind the Lakers and Mavericks in the playoff race in the West. The Suns somehow got blown out by the Hawks. We'll throw this one out. We're not saying that they're a bad team just because they lost by a lot to the Hawks on the road. 135-103. The Suns, with their loss and with the Jazz beating the Spurs by a lot tonight, Utah now takes the number one seed by a full game, which is huge, and we'll get to that in a minute. Kings and Pacers. Okay, look, we've got to talk about this one for a second. Not so much the game, because the Pacers lose to the Kings. That's awful if you're the Pacers. But in particular...
this is second night of a back-to-back for the Kings, too. This isn't a well-rested game
for them. In particular, though, the timing of this was just atrocious. We had a report at The Athletic by our own Sam Amick and Sham Sharania talking about some of the details behind the scenes of what's happening in Indiana. I suggest everyone go and watch that to get context for what happened during this game. Assistant coach Greg Foster starts screaming at Goga Batazde, has to be held back by a player on the bench. That's not a good look. Apparently, Goga had told him to sit down after he made a three, which, hey, look, that's cool to me. You know, you just stuck a three. You say whatever you want. But if you're a coach, like, you can't be getting held back like that. But in particular, when you're on the hot seat, I mean, this is probably done, right? This is over.
Yeah. Yeah, if even if they let them ride out to the end of the season, this is done. And it's not like you see guys get upset and get heated. This was different. This was weird. This was like weird mad guy. Like he was angry for a long period of time to where I looked at the video when I was watching the video. I was like, is this still going or did it rewind or did it restart? No, it's still going. Like he is still so mad. Like, also, just don't let Jeremy Lamb be the voice of reason in the room, please. Don't do that.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a bad look for everybody, and I understand that the situation there is rough, and emotions are going to get high. But if you're a basketball coach at any level, I think you are the one that has to keep your emotions in check. You're not out there playing in the game. Guys are going to get upset. They're out there dealing with actual physicality, and you know they're out of breath and all these other things. I think as a head coach, you've got to always be the mature one in every single situation. I've done that in my coaching career. I try to do that in life, but I fail at it too. So I'm not going to say Greg Foster is a bad guy for this. We all have had things get the best of us, but man, this is awful. And the timing couldn't be worse.
Well, not only that, but you're on TV, dude. You know, you're on TV.
That mask is only doing so much work. The Grizzlies beat the Timberwolves 139-135. My man Anthony Edwards had 42 points. And we're going to celebrate him in a loss just because Anthony Edwards is awesome. Ja Morant had 37. The Nuggets beat the Knicks 113-97. The Knicks had an awful start to this game. I mean, the Nuggets were just dominating them from the jump. Nikola Jokic had four dunks in the first quarter, which was a career high for him. He had 23 points. This is the most dominant quarter of basketball I've seen out of Nikola Jokic. And I commented, he has taken a leap while we've been watching him under a microscope. This is incredible what he's doing.
He's the MVP, man. Like I think he's got that all the way locked up.
All right, quickly. The Blazers are in that seven seed. So they're 3.5 games up on the Grizzlies. It looks like they've got that seven seed at worst. Okay, they're a half game behind the Lakers and Mavericks. The Grizzlies, with their win, they get themselves a half game ahead of the Warriors, who didn't play tonight. The Warriors in the 9 spot are a full game ahead of the Spurs, who, after their loss, are only 2 games up on the Pelicans. So, to me, the only open playoff spot is that 10 spot in the West. Are the Spurs going to hold on as we leave?
I don't know. Their schedule is not super easy. So I'm not super hopeful that the Spurs can hang on here. They have Portland. They do play Portland. They have Milwaukee, Brooklyn, New York, Phoenix.
It's going to be tough. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the other pods we've got on the Athletic Podcast Network. Go and check them out. If you haven't signed up, go to theathletic.com/dailyding and do it now. Thank you guys for waking up with us as you do every single morning. Schlecht, send us to work.
Ding, ding.